Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wertel, and we are at Parshat Shmini. That's right, last week was Tzav, and we're at Parshat Shmini. Before we start, once again, this year is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala, but Menachem Mendel, may her neshama have an aliyah. All right, so where do we begin? Let's begin with the first word of Shmini. So it starts off with the phrase, B'yom HaShmini, on the eighth day. And however, this Parsha actually follows the seven-day inauguration of the Mishkan, and, you know, a multi-Parsha conglomeration, if you want to call it, detailed description of the Mishkan's parts, as well as the Big Day Kahuna, the Kohen's Vest. And as we know, seven is mystically symbolic of natural cycles, of the natural order. The Mishkan had to show that the seven of nature is really part of Hashem's running the world, and only after we got through a cycle of seven could we have the eighth day, which was truly the first day. Now, I just read today, as part of, actually, I thought was a pretty big revelation, you know, that I discovered. I'm sure it's probably well known to other people. Basically, the initial inauguration took place on the 23rd of Adar, not the 1st of Nisan. It was only the 8th day, which is really after the 7-day preparatory period, which was actually the 1st of Nisan, which was the official dedication of the Mishkan. So therefore, there was a 1 after a 7, which is something which we actually see many times, where the 8th is kind of like a separate component, but also a continuation of the 7. Most notably, we see that by Shmini Atzeret. Now, so after we had this quote-unquote week of preparation of inauguration to really get ready for the experience of receiving the Shekhinah and the Mishkan, you know, so we had basically 7 days prayer. Now it's the eighth day. It's the absolute pinnacle. It, you know, eight mystically represents going beyond the realm of nature, the supernal. It represents just going completely beyond into a whole new realm. And this day was supposed to be the absolute, absolute, absolute pinnacle of joy and spiritual height. Now, it's interesting. Well, first of all, we know what happened. The day was somewhat marred by what happened with Nadab and Avihu when they brought a foreign fire, Ishzara, to Hashem. Obviously, there's tons and tons of explanations what that means, why it was wrong, etc. But the day was somewhat, you know, they put a damper on it, but nevertheless, they continued. Now, it's interesting that Parshat Shmini often follows the Chag of Pesach, although it certainly doesn't this year because we had a leap year. But there is a connection with Pesach in multiple respects. So first of all, it follows Pesach in the fact that we have 7 days and then we have the Yisro Chag day. So although we don't quite have the seventh and the eighth day the way we do with Shmini Atzeret, there is this concept of an Yisro Chag of going right afterwards, especially because we jump, you know, into days of just Sfira, right? And the Sfira itself also has concept of seven weeks of seven and then 1 day beyond, which is the 50th day, which is Shavuot. And not only that, the Kriyas Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea, took place on the eighth day or 7 days after the Karban Pesach was taken. So that's another time that this comes up. So it's actually a very, very recurring theme that you have a seven and one. In fact, even by Kriyas Yam Suf, we have a hint to it when we say Az Yashir Moshe. Oz is one and seven, right? And we put the one first. It could be, you know, seven and one. In this case, we highlight the one first because that's the one that really goes above and beyond. So let's see. The seven lamps of the menorah also have an eighth component, even though that's not, I mean, we obviously think about it by Hanukkah, but that's a very different menorah. But in the Beit HaMikdash, there was three on one side, three on the other, one in the middle, a total of seven. And the eighth in this particular case was the Shekhinah, which was resting even higher than the flames were going. It was atop the, in some respect at least, the Mishkan. So the eighth essentially component, or alternatively, you could say the eighth component was the Kohen Gadol who lit it. That one's a little more, maybe a little more far-fetched, although I do believe, you know, numerous Mefarshim, including many who in the Hasidic nature, do mention that idea. Many, many other examples, these the ones I mentioned are probably the most obvious. Rebbeinu Bechai points out that these instances of eight are far more abundant in the Torah than we actually realize, and that some of them are actually adjacent or relatively adjacent to the beginning of this week's Parsha. Among those that he lists are the eight vestments of the Kohen Gadol, the eight different types of garments that the Kohen Gadol would wear, the eight components of the anointing oil, the eight badim, or poles, that were used in the Mishkan, two for the Aron, two for the Shulchan, two for the Mizbeach, well, two for each Mizbeach, so it's four total, so it's eight total. The song which the Levim sang had eight parts, which also corresponds, I believe, to the concept of octaves that we have now. That's also something that switches eight, but which, again, that's also a seven and one, because when you have the eighth one in an octave, that actually you're back to the same note you started with, so it's also kind of seven and one. And one of the instruments that was used by the Levium was, in fact, a seven-stringed instrument, which the Gemara mentions will have eight strings when Mashiach comes, right? Because they're going beyond their own nature. Right now, sound has kind of a natural sound. It's still, even though an octave is eight, we're still primarily operating with seven, you know, notes. You know, there will be an eighth dimension, whatever exactly that means. I don't know how it would be understood musically, but there's going to be a whole additional eighth dimension, if you want to call it that, of these this natural order of seven when Mashiach comes. So there's a question that needs to be asked, right? Why did Aaron and his son specifically have to be called that they would have to do something special on the eighth day, right? If they were already present for the first 7 days, what was their role that they were supposed to have this special dedication on the eighth day? And the answer is they had to prepare themselves to receive a new dimension, just like we have to prepare for Shabbos. We have to prepare for everything. It was a level so high that they couldn't even comprehend, and that even Aaron could not mourn the death of his own children, which happened on that day. It was a level that we can't comprehend. It's beyond the level of physical thought. It's a level with total devotion to Hashem. And this Mishkan could only be founded in such a capacity. Now, it's interesting that functions of the Mishkan are paralleled in the 39 malachot, the 39 work-related activities, creative activities on Shabbat. And Shabbat is also a day of a higher reality. Interestingly enough, Shabbat is also a day of 7 and 1, because the week is 7 days, but it kind of wraps around from Shabbos to Shabbos. So in a certain sense, even though it's primarily a function of 7, there is an element of 8 to that as well. Especially, you could also say that you have 7 souls, each day you have a soul, but on Shabbos you have a Neshama Yetera. So you could say you have 8 soul days. I don't know, that's kind of a weird way to explain it. But there is a concept of Shabbat, even though it's primarily looked at as number 7, there is some idea that Shabbos is also a little bit of 8. You know, that Shabbos is actually the end of the previous week and the beginning of the coming week. So it has the 3 days before it that lead into it, the 3 days after it, which is something also symbolized by the menorah, the concept of 3 and 3 and 1 in the middle. So that middle flame was symbolic of Shabbos. But if you say that it takes in the week before it and it helps with the week after it, then it has a double function, in which case it counts as 2 days, in which case it would actually be 8. So it's another hint to the fact that Shabbos is really 8. So it's actually interesting. And we need to think about Shabbos not only in a cycle of 7, right? 7 is symbolic of nature, but also the days of creation, and that Hashem is the master of the world, and Hashem is the creator of the world, but not just everything that we physically have in this world. Shabbos is a time to connect on a much higher spiritual level, right? To not just come to a realization and come to thinking about what it means that Hashem created the physical world, but where do we stand vis-a-vis the spiritual world? What are our spiritual endeavors? How are we doing with our spiritual heights? And if we utilize Shabbos properly to raise ourselves above just the natural order of things, even with respect to, you know, Hashem's mastery of creation, then we can then turn that seventh day into an eighth day. And that was part of what the Shemini day was supposed to represent. And to some extent still did, because the show carried on, as they say, right? Even though Aaron's sons passed away, two of them, he still had to continue because he realized, and he had absolute emunah and bitachon, which is something I speak about in my written Dvar this week, that Aaron had absolute emunah and bitachon in Hashem, and he understood that even though he felt he needed to mourn, he understood that it wasn't about him, it was about Klal Yisrael, it was about their connection to Hashem, and it was about Hashem's presence in the world and amongst Klal Yisrael. And this allowed so much to happen and was part of Aaron's greatness, that it was who he was. And this is something that we have to, you know, take in to our lives when looking through the lens of the Torah, but also, as I mentioned, every Shabbos, that we have this element of 7 and 8. We have this kind of like this little, you know, fringe hint of extra dimensional spirituality in every aspect of our lives. So many things that you can't even realize, though. Just as there's so many times that a 7th going into an 8 or the number 8 is hidden in the Torah, there's many times that we will have something going beyond, whether it's an everyday miracle that we have no idea that it happens, or it's just something that just goes beyond, you know, logic or the natural order of things. It's happening all the time. The question is, will we open our eyes and our minds to it, and hopefully our souls and our hearts? So wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom, and, you know, start getting ready for Pesach, but not too early. So enjoy your leftover Shalach Manas first. So no need to get ahead of ourselves. All right, take care. Shabbat Shalom.